tonight. And I tell you, I can't thank Father Phil enough. The first time he offered or asked me if I would open up the congregation for the 10 days of prayer, I didn't know really what to do, so he said, just have your regular service. And I said, okay, and we just had a regular service. But this time the Lord gave me something else. And so I'm going to have a real short message tonight. I'm going to keep it well under 3 hours. And the announcements, however, will be 2.5 hours. And then I've invited a number of leaders here from around the city to come and to lead us in prayer. My personal heart is for the individuals in our congregations. Many, I know in my congregation, many are under affliction. They suffer some hard times, sickness, various sundry other ailments. We'll be doing that after the music service. We're going to break up into groups. For those who wish to leave or go into the Oneg, you'll be welcome to. For those who wish to stay, I understand we have a number of people from the national organization for the prayer. I don't know exactly what it's called. I don't get out much. Okay, the national organization of 10 days, they will be, I'm going to ask them as well as the leaders to just break up in groups like we did last time and just pray for the individuals within that group, maybe join together for other prayers. And I am very excited. I believe God is going to show up tonight in a very powerful way. Where his people are gathered together, I believe perhaps he will be in our midst and finally maybe a smile on his face instead of a frown, which I believe the Lord frowns a lot these days. He must get Fox News. I'm just saying. That would be another message entirely. Judging from the reaction, I would get a lot of amens for that message, too. All right. So why don't you come up here and pray for me? Lord knows I need it.
Dear Father, I want to first of all thank you for this free country. Thank you so that we can come into this place that you have set aside for your word. We can come here and do what we're doing tonight without fear. Thank you, Lord, for that. Keep it free a bit longer. Lord, we ask you that you would enable Bert to bring a message tonight about peace. We could use a little peace even now. So, Lord, we would ask that you cause his words to touch our hearts deeply, that we might carry your word into a darkening world in this coming week. And we thank you, Lord, for all you have done and all you will do in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Give them heaven.
Well, 68 years ago, God answered a rhetorical question that he posed in Isaiah. Can a nation be born in an instant, in a pa'am, in a twinkling of an eye? Now we know the answer. Yes. On May 14th, 1948, God answered that question, and Israel came into being. The world has not been the same since then. As I was preparing this message, we're going to have prayer tonight. We're going to be asking for things. What do people want most from God? Blessings. That's what we ask for. Lord, bless us. I was blessed by God. Mostly these take the form of physical blessings. Primarily, we seek what we have need of to sustain life: food, clothing, shelter, Lamborghinis. Not everybody's the same. Some people have greater needs than others. I do a lot of driving. I'm just saying. And God accommodates those desires, at least the food, clothing, and the shelter. I am still waiting in faith on the Lamborghini. And the Lord says, "Test me. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you, such a blessing that you will not have room to receive it. You won't even have, you're going to have to build another building to put the harvest into." Of course, there's a caveat. There's reciprocity. He said, "Bring me the whole tithe into the storehouse so there may be food in my house, and test me. Fill my house and I'll fill yours to overflowing. You won't even be able to keep it." The reason he says give first, that keeps us focused on God so that we don't begin to think of ourselves a tad more highly than we ought to, so that we don't think it's our labors that actually bring in. Like he says in Deuteronomy, "It is the Lord who gives you the power to attain wealth. It is God's grace that gives you." It was God who increased Jacob, not Jacob. Jacob left with nothing. And he would have returned with nothing had the Lord not given him increase. Yeshua reinforces this in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What was he talking about? What is the context? Food, clothing, and shelter. Consider the lilies of the field. Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one such as these. The sparrows, doesn't he feed them? And you, how much more are you worth than the sparrow? What we have need of: food, clothing, shelter. Seek God first, you'll get the stuff you need. We seek ethereal blessings, 2 Samuel chapter 7. The word of God is spoken to a man, and it is probably one of the greatest blessings you can receive. You will sleep with the fathers. It's a Hebrew idiom, which means, well, basically you're saved. You're justified by your faith. Wherever Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are, you will be. You will sleep with the fathers. You will be with them. You will reap, you're going to reap the rewards of living righteously in this life. And again, Yeshua affirms this in Matthew 25. If we do well here, when he returns, we will hear the words, "Well done, true and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will now give you charge over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." What else does man seek? When he's younger, not so much. When he's older, he seeks rest from his labors. We look forward to the Shabbat, believe me. You young ones, trust me, there's going to be a time when the commandment to rest will be dear to your heart. Yeah, right now, resting is a real chore, isn't it? You always want to do something. There's a time coming when that will pass. And you will look forward to the time when you can sit before the Lord and do nothing at all except praise and worship him. Yeah, trust me, it's coming. Mostly, however, we seek rest from our labors by our own devices. We make stuff. Labor and time-saving devices, but actually it's a wash. By the time you earn the money to buy the machine, then you got to maintain the machine, then you got to build a building to put the machine in, then you got to buy insurance, which means you got to work to pay for the insurance on the machine. By the time you're done with all of that, you could have dug the hole with a shovel. And you can leave a shovel anywhere because nobody's going to steal a shovel because that's a lot of work. By the time I figured out my phone, I could have jogged to the man's house and talked to him. And then it dropped the call. Oh, I'm lying, huh? Yeah, okay. Apparently you guys don't live in Elbert County. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, the prophet combines the idea of sleeping with the fathers and with rest, the idea of entering into a rest, not only here, but in eternity. Matthew 11, chapter 28, Yeshua speaks to us of the concept of rest. You know, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, first, the Lord says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." True rest is always achieved the same way, by a proximity to God. And the Lord says in Matthew 11, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." His yoke apparently is easy, light. So what is really being sought here? We seek food when we're hungry, warmth when we're cold, a cool stream in the heat of the day, a respite from the storm, healing when we're sick, love when we're lonely. What are we really seeking? When the specifics are stripped away, what we truly seek is peace. That's actually what we're, the essence of what every soul seeks after, to be at peace. The word shalom, reintroduced into the world in 1948 when Israel became a nation. It comes from a root, shalom, which is to be safe, to be full, lacking in nothing. When a man eats, he is full and he is at peace. If you doubt me, view any living room on a Sunday afternoon at the football game. Men eat, men become docile. Man no longer want to fight. Man no longer want to kill. Man just want to watch game. Don't turn off the game, because then men will rise up and they will, never mind. Peace is the greatest blessing that God can give us. Singularly, it stands all by its lonesome, although we don't often recognize the need for it. In a supposed conversation between an old man and a young man, the old man says to the young man, "So what is it you seek after? What are you looking for?" The young man says, "I'm not exactly sure." He says, "Are you looking for peace? You should look for peace." And the young man says, "I'm not sure peace is what I really want." And the old man gives him the benefit of his wisdom and his years. He says, "Then you're looking for the wrong thing." Whenever we buy something new, whenever we get something new, we're actually looking for peace. But things wear out. You know, I make my jokes about Lamborghinis. I would love to own a Lamborghini, but I can tell you this, after about a week, wouldn't be fun anymore. I'd need 3 extra jobs. I'd have to pay off them speeding tickets.
Or you'd be dead.
If somebody gave me one of those things for free, I couldn't afford it. not a $10,000 for a tune-up. Yeah. I'll stick it out with my Ford. You're looking for the wrong thing. In the greatest blessing, the Lord says, Moshe, speak these words over the children of Israel, and I will put my name in them. And the last phrase, it's a progression. There's three words, five words, and seven words. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. The Lord bless you and keep you. Yair Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. That's five words. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. And the Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. I will put my name in you and you will have shalom, peace, contentment. You will want nothing. You will need nothing. I will become your all and all. True peace is a right relationship with God, and to whatever degree that relationship is broken, there is anxiety and fear. And peace stands in opposition to anxiety, fear, strife. Jeremiah chapter 16. For I have withdrawn my peace from this people, declares the Lord, my loving kindness and compassion. The nation was in turmoil. Our nation is in turmoil. And I actually believe the Lord has withdrawn his peace from us. That's why we're here tonight, to pray. That's precisely why we're here. Yeshua gives us a remedy for this condition in John 14. Peace I leave you, not as the world gives to you, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Be anxious for nothing. I mean, what happens when we worry? And everybody's worried these days. You read it on the internet, you hear it all the time. Everybody's worried. What happens when you worry? Whatever you're worried about, you bring it that much faster. It starts early. We start the time of trouble early. We're worried about something that will happen. We've already entered into the turmoil of that time before it's actually happened. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Live each day for itself. Because that day has sufficient evil. You don't have to look to tomorrow. Tomorrow's coming, and it'll have its own troubles. If you look to tomorrow, you add tomorrow's troubles on top of this, and it gets worse. You look 6 months down the road, and it becomes overwhelming. Perhaps Snoopy said it best. Snoopy and Charlie Brown are sitting on the edge of a dock, and they're looking out over this placid lake. And they're just sitting there in silence. And Charlie Brown doesn't turn. He just continues to gaze out across the lake. And a thought percolates in his soul. And he declares, Snoopy, one day we're all going to die. And there's a silence as they both continue to gaze out over the lake. And eventually Snoopy says, you're right, but on all other days, we will not. There's a time of trouble coming. There's a time of trouble that's here. I don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. The scriptures say one day the beast will come and all hell will ride with him. But on all other days, he will not. Fear and her child anxiousness abound these days. Everything is changing, and many would not say for the better. A nation that was focused on God has turned from him and had looked to a man to save it, and he promised hope and change, and that change that he brought caused hope to become a dimly lit speck on the horizon to many. And many believers are doing exactly the same thing again, 8 years later. We're now looking to another man to save us from the consequences of this other man. The arguments amongst believers between candidates about the candidates has even left the realm of politics and become soteriological. I don't see how any real believer can vote for this candidate or that candidate. Really? I have a more inclusive question. How could any believer vote for any of these politicians? Lowest form of life God ever made. All you need to know is in the etymology of the word. Poly, many, tick, small, little blood-sucking creatures. That's all you have to know. Everything else is commentary. Lowest form of life God ever made from the very beginning. Who was the first politician, first world ruler, the first image of the beast? Nimrod. He ruled the whole world. There's another coming in that spirit. Believers should vote, but believers should not see our political leaders as saviors. They are not. They are politicians. In the time of Uzziah, Israel enjoyed great prosperity until he forgot his name. Uzziah means my strength in God, and he changed it, I suppose, to Uzi, my strength. And as soon as he forgot in God, he fell, and he was killed. And a few years before his death, Isaiah looked up, and the ceiling of his dwelling dissolved. And he saw clearly, and he declared what he saw. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. The Lord is always on a throne. Perhaps a time of trouble is coming, perhaps not. Many have predicted such events, and they have not come to pass. However, there is a constant in the universe, a thing that was the same yesterday, today, and forever, an anchor for us all. One that never changes and whose love is eternal. When anxiety and fear begin to overtake you during the day, stop what you are doing. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, just stop. Cast your gaze up to the heavens, and maybe, just maybe, God will bless you with a vision. And maybe whatever building you're in, maybe the ceiling will dissolve. And if you're outside, maybe the heavens will roll back like a scroll. And you will behold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sitting on the throne. And that will bring peace to your soul. We have a choice in these times. Ezekiel spoke of one, Isaiah spoke of another. Ezekiel, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me in the land so that I would not destroy it, and I did not find one. And Isaiah also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. What shall it be? Shall we be like those the Lord spoke to Ezekiel about? Will the Lord find none amongst us who will proclaim his name, or will the Lord hear an overwhelming chorus of voices crying out, Hineni, here am I, send me. What shall it be? We have a choice for this day and this time. We're now going to have some prayer time. I'm going to ask the leaders who are here to come up and to lead us in prayer. And after the music, again, like I said, we're going to break off into little groups and continue the prayer time. And to the leaders, I expressed some burdens I had, but whatever the Lord leads you to pray, do it. I also expressed 5 to 7 minutes for time constraints, but you know what? It'd still be shorter than the average movie. And I'm going to ask, Phil, would you come up and begin us, because it was your energy, your vision that brought this one to my mind. And so I'll ask you, well, first I'll thank you for what the Lord's doing through you and for the blessing you've been. God bless you.
Let's bow before God. Bow our hearts. Lord, there are many among us who are afflicted. God, we come before you. And we lift our faces and we open our eyes, Lord Jesus. Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who is seated at the right hand of power and who has received all authority in heaven and on earth. Lord, in your name, we pray that you would light a fire among us that would push back the darkness. Holy Spirit, come. Ruach HaKodesh, come among us. Be the light of the world among us as you burn within us. Push back the darkness. Push back the darkness. Let your church be the light of the world. Your people, one new man, Lord. Jew and Gentile together. Clothe us, Lord, in your righteousness. Protect us by your power. We pray for those who are afflicted physically. We ask you, Holy God, to extend your hand of healing now in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus, and perform the miracles that we have heard about as we read the book of Acts. Extend your hand through your church and in your church. Heal the afflictions that we have, and then let us be your hands and your feet in the world to take your healing power to those who do not even know you. Grant us your grace. Grant us your favor. Lord, in our world, we pray that you would give us a voice. Not a voice of power and might, but a voice of humility and a voice of love. Let your voice be heard through us. A voice that says, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. We bless you. Father, we pray for your church. We pray for this church, Lord Jesus. We pray for Roe, Israel, for this congregation, for its ministers, for its people, that you would build a hedge of protection around this place, around this people. Banish far from them any of the schemes of the enemy. Protect their homes. Protect their jobs. Protect them physically. Reach out, touch, and heal. We give you glory. We give you glory. We say alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
I wonder if we can stand together. And
yes.
I have some things on my heart that I just want to pray for. And you know, God spoke to Abraham and said, those who bless you will be blessed by me. And I'm not just concerned, I'm beyond concerned. I'm heartbroken over this nation. Mm. And you know, I want to see revival like all of us want to see revival. But I'm absolutely convinced whatever revival is going to take place, it will only take place as we as a people bless the descendants of Abraham, my people. And I stand here as an American, as an Israeli. I have citizenship in both. But my main citizenship is in heaven. But I want us to join tonight together to pray, not just for this nation, but I've seen, and you've seen it too, a growing anti-Semitism that's become institutionalized, not just in our culture, but even in the body of Messiah. I don't have time to get into it, but whether it be boycotts, sanctions, divestment, it's grieving God's heart. And we as a people, Jew and Gentile, and I want us to do something even further as a symbolic act. I want us to link arms together. So you might have to do something uncomfortable and cross. Is that okay?
You might actually have to come up to the front.
Hey. You might even have to do that. I really want us to. To me, prayer is not just a, the rabbi, the pastor does the praying. It's not, and we're observers. No, we are participating in this. We link arms together as an army, one new man together. And I want us to join together. All right, you guys can stop right here. All right.
They're going to start this.
Father, we come before you tonight as one. Echad. Brothers and sisters together, loving you, our focus on you. And God, we see what has been unleashed into this world and against your people. And Father, we repent on behalf even of a nation that has turned its back on you. Oh, yes, we say, oh, yes, we love Israel. It's like the David and Goliath. It's like this, it's this wonderful romantic thing. But no, this is the apple of your eye, God. And we have turned our back against your people, Lord God. And Father, we repent of that tonight. We say, Lord, forgive us as a nation and forgive us as the body of Messiah for not loving what you love, Lord God, and you love that people. And it's not because of how wonderful and how awesome they are. It's not about that. It's because you are a covenant-keeping, covenant-making God who made covenant with this people, and you keep covenant, and you fulfill covenant. So, Lord God, we join together, Father, and we stand against the evils of anti-Semitism in this nation, and even that's creeped into the body of Messiah, into the church. And Father, we repent of that and we say, Father, we stand on your promises. We stand on your covenants, Lord God. They were not the covenants to the Jewish people, but we have been grafted into those with your people, Lord God. And we join with them, Father. Lord, give us the wisdom and the courage to stand against that evil of anti-Semitism as it comes. And Lord, this year, where we have seen such craziness in a political system that's just gone awry. We shake our heads every day. Mm-hmm. And we say, well, God, I guess it's this candidate or this candidate, but Lord God, it's not like we're looking to hire a pastor of the United States. We're not looking to do that. But Father, we want a man who will stand for your purposes. Lord God, and we as a people, we have abdicated, and Lord, we cannot abdicate any longer, Lord God. We need to seek your face, Lord God. Lord, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to vote? How do you want us to speak out, Lord God? There's so much craziness going on. Father, I pray that you would revive us as your bride, as your Kehillah,
as your assembly, Lord God, that you would revive us again to your purposes. Oh God, that we would return to your ways, that we would return to your Torah. Father, we have become a people who have become cold in our hearts because of a Torahlessness, because of lawlessness. And Lord God, we repent of that. Lord, bring us back to you, Father. And we will stand as righteousness, Father, in a nation that has gone dark. Oh, Lord, we join together, Jew and Gentile, Father, brothers and sisters tonight, Lord God, pray for this nation. And, Lord, even bringing it down to this local level. Yeah. Lord, I was so touched last week as we were at the state capitol and these little children were up there. Praying first, remember that,
yes,
Phil.
Yes, I do.
And this one kid, just, Lord, forgive us for allowing marijuana to come into this state. And the simplicity and yet the truth and the honesty from these kids, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would even start right in our congregations in this city, in this state. Jesus. Turn us back to you, Lord God. Lord, yes. As a people, we cry and say, we need you. We are desperate. We are desperate, Lord God. We cry out for revival. But we know, Lord God, that revival only comes when we agree with what you say and what you will do and what your word says, Lord God. That's where revival comes. So, Lord, as I started praying that we as a nation would not abandon your people and that nation, Lord, we also, in the last 8 days, I'm reminded, in Israel, there was Yom HaShoah, as they remembered the Holocaust. But out of those ashes, you created a nation in a moment. And the world stood in awe and said, wow, how can this be? But you, God. And then a few days ago, Yom HaZikaron, a day of remembrance. It's the memorial day in Israel to remember the dead, the war dead, for the wars that have been fought to keep Israel's independence. And then just yesterday or the day before, Yom Hatzmut, with the day of independence. And Father, we as a people tonight, all of us gathered tonight, we say, Lord, we stand with your people Israel. We stand with your people Israel in these dark days, Lord God. Lord, we will speak your words about your nation and about your people. We will stand with them. Lord, give us the wisdom and the strength as your people to do that tonight. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Shabbat Shalom. I've been considering Paul's letters to the body of Messiah on his journeys. And I noted that when he went to different cities, he would say, this letter is to the church at Ephesus, or this letter is to the church at Corinth. And I noticed in that he didn't say churches in Corinth or churches in Ephesus, but the church. And I want to say that even though we have churches and boundaries and shared values and some distinctives that make us a little different, we are one church. And I believe that the Spirit of God would say to the church in Denver, amen, that he is pleased when we come together and exalt the name of the risen one, who is seated at the right hand of power, who is Lord of lords and King of kings, whom the kings of the earth have to answer to. And I know there's so much going on in the nation, and everyone is stirred up. But I want to remind us that nations come and go. But the kingdom of God ever increases. And you and I are children of the King. And this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Never forget who you are. All of heaven stands behind you. You are the answer and the hope of the nation. Jesus is our King and our Lord. So I want to read Psalm 2 as a prayer to the nation and for the nation, and even more than that, for the nations. And then I want to close in a short prayer. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take their counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain, and I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now, therefore, O candidates running for office, take warning, O judges of the Supreme Court of the United States. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are those who take refuge in him." Let's end with the prayer that Yeshua instructed us in how to pray. I think we are all familiar with it. You can recite this with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Shalom.
We're going to do this more. Do homage to the Son. The words be'ivrit anash kubar. It is more than do homage. It says kiss the Son. Kiss him. We are the bride, and if you have kissed the Son tonight, my thoughts were similar to Mark's. Take a gander around you. Just take a look around. This is a weird group. I ain't alone. There is nothing that would bring this group together. have nations and kindreds and tongues here. There's age differences. There's nothing but differences. There's nothing that would bring this group together except one thing, the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus Christ. Because everyone here has kissed the Son, and everyone here proclaims Yeshua Hu Adon, Jesus, He is Lord. And that's why we're here. And there's nothing else that would bring this group together. I've watched over the last little bit as brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters. See, Jews don't have a problem with Arabs. I don't have any problems with Arabs at all. Never have. One of my best friends is an Arab Israeli soldier who was injured as he was hauling out Israeli Jews off a battlefield after they got ambushed. I met him when we were up in Lebanon, and he got all stove up. He anti-tank RPG landed next to him, and on his third trip back hauling Jews out, he got blowed up. Went to visit him in the hospital. We still correspond. That man's my brother. Why? Because he was born in Nazareth. And he proclaimed the name of another man who was born in Nazareth. Yeah. So I don't care if he's an Arab or not. Doesn't make any difference to me at all. That man is my brother in Christ. He is my brother. He fought on the side of God's people. Almost lost his life on the side of God's people. He fought right alongside of Jews and Messianic Jews. And he fought for the same thing, the land that God promised to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That man's my brother. Because he proclaims that name. Phil brought some folks with him, I'm sure. Stu, Mark, some of you from my congregation. Like he was saying, it doesn't matter. What matters is Nash Kubar. We kiss the Son. So there's one church in Denver. And if we don't stop putting aside our little petty things, you know what? Why did the book of Acts, why did God do such amazing things? So many have said that was during a time, the apostolic time, and it's no longer. No. God is still in the miracle business, and God still has power, and God is still great, and God is still sovereign, and God can do whatever he wants. But I'll tell you what, we've changed. In the beginning, in that book of Acts, wherever you see God's power revealed in just such phenomenal ways, I mean, just mind-boggling, where everybody's attention was gotten, what do you read just before that? And the brothers were of one mind and one accord. And right after that phrase, every single time, God shows up, and we have not been of one mind and one accord for a long time. And I bless, Phil, I bless you. You are wonderful. You have brought this together. God has eased you, and I am so grateful. We had a prayer time here a couple of months ago. We're having it now. I really want to see this happen more, for we are in need of prayer now more than any other time in my lifetime. And the consequences are severe. Put aside those distractions. They ain't worth nothing anyway. They don't mean anything. those people to your right, to your left, in front of you, behind you, those are your brothers and sisters. Lift them up in prayer. Take the time after we're done here, if the musicians would start coming up, we're going to worship God, and then we're going to pray again. And I'm going to encourage you, if you have needs, you know, we have a sister here with cancer. We have, you know, my blessed wife is suffering under ailments. There's so many who have needs. We're going to break up into prayer groups. We got a bunch of WD-40 and 10W-30, and we got oil. We'll grease each other up, and we'll get to praying. Because we need God. We really need God.